We're going to get into the Word. If you got your Bible, we're going to jump over into Genesis this morning. How many of you guys know what we've been discussing for the last couple of weeks, really? We have been doing a message and just talking a lot about finances and just being practical with God's provision and prosperity. And we talked last week about joy and being happy, if you guys remember that. And we said this, that happiness is not found in things. Happiness is found in Him. And happiness is found in Him and knowing what you're called to do with your life. If you chase happiness, you leave pretty much unhappy. Because how many of you know happiness, if you're chasing a feeling, how many of you guys know this much? Feelings change. And what happens with feelings is they change rapidly. So if you're pursuing happiness and you're chasing this feeling, once you get something, you may be happy for a little bit, but how many of you guys know usually when you get something for a little bit, that new flavor wears off? You know, you buy that new car and you're happy for a season, but then one day you just go to the garage and it's a car. Or you get a house and, you know, for a while you love your house, but then after a while you come home and it's just your house. What happens? That newness wears off. And then what happens with a lot of people, especially non-believers, but I see this with believers also, then they go on to chasing something else. So they get the car and they're happy for a season, and then that doesn't bring them happiness. And then they think, well, new job. And then they get a new job, and the new job doesn't work. So then they go new house, and then they get a new house, and that doesn't work. And then they go, new outfits, and then they start back all over again. New car, new job, new outfits. And I've seen people that I've known, you know, and I'll just say it this way, they'll say new spouse. Guess what happens? You get another spouse and you still got the same problems because you hadn't fixed them before. And so what happens is people chase happiness. And we said this last week, happiness is found in Him. It's found in Him and knowing what we are called to do. It's found in Him in knowing what God has called us to do with our life. And one of the things that we can do that we know God has called all of us to do that will bring us happiness is serve. Serving brings you happiness because Jesus said it would. And so when you serve in the church, that's one of the reasons my wife and I are so adamant about people serving, is because we know that it brings you joy. We know that it's great for connections, but it's also there's a fulfillment when you serve. And anybody that has served in any capacity would say this, being in volunteer or serving is just, it's joyous. Now, you may start out a little tired, you may start out a little frustrated, but you can't stay that way for too long. You know, serving in kids, for example, you got volunteers back there working with kids today. Well, I mean, that takes some work, but there is a reward to it. There's a joy to it, amen? Now, it doesn't mean, now I'm not saying this, understand what I'm saying here. I'm not saying, you know, you have to serve and you have to serve in every area, even if you're not good at it and even if you don't want to do it, you have to serve there no matter what. Just suck it up, buttercup, and serve. Because some of y'all are like, kids ain't my thing. That's understandable. Don't serve in kids. But there's other areas you can serve. You know, I'm not saying, because sometimes people look at me like, I don't know if I can handle those kids back there, Pastor. I may have to repent after service. I'm not telling you to go back there and serve with kids. I'm telling you any area, anything that you do, it'll bring you joy. Amen? And so we've been talking about this, and this week I was thinking about this message and just thinking about some things, and I realized that I don't know where I heard it, if I was watching a video online or just kind of scrolling through the internet, doing something throughout my day, just kind of random. And I came across different videos and different things about people and churches and prosperity and how many people really, honestly, are opposed to it. And how many people are not only opposed to it, but they tell you you're crazy if you believe in prosperity. And not only do they tell you you believe in prosperity, they'll tell you that I, your pastor, am a false teacher. Now, there's a very well-known minister. I'm not going to call this minister out or anything because it doesn't do me any good because I've heard it said this way. Putting somebody's candle out doesn't make mine burn any brighter. So I'm not going to mention this person's name because it doesn't do me any good. But I am saying what this minister said. I heard this week he said that women should not preach and should remain silent in church. And he has a massive church. And I thought, you're going to get a rude awakening on Judgment Day, dude. Not that he's going to be, you know, not judged in the sense of going to hell, but just like, uh-oh, I missed that cart. I missed that. Because he's hindering women in his church. And he's not only hindering that, he's got a voice, and a lot of people listen to this guy. And so I heard him say that, and I thought, man, there's just a lot of miscommunication. There's a lot of misunderstanding about things. When people say things about people of faith, it's usually negative. You ever notice that? Oh, you're a faith person. No, I'm just a Bible person. Oh, you believe faith? Yeah, but so did Jesus and so did God. So I'll put company with them before I put company with somebody that thinks I'm a bad person. You know, and you'll have people say, oh, but you just believe in prosperity. Well, do you believe in being poor? Yeah. Well, then why can't you believe in prosperity? I mean, you know, it's like when I look at these things, I think, well, hold on here. And so I thought to myself, you know, one of the things that we need to look at is understand what was God's original intention for man? Because if poverty was his original intention, then that's what he should have done when he created man. Because, you know, what you find out in the Bible is what hermeneutics call the first mention. And anytime something is mentioned the first time in the Bible, it sets precedence for the rest of the Bible. So if poverty was God's plan for his children, he ought to mention it first, and it all set precedence for the rest of the Bible. But what you find out in Scripture is that poverty was not God's original plan. So if poverty wasn't God's original plan and prosperity was, that means prosperity ought to highlight through the rest of the Bible. And you see that because look at the Scripture that we read for offering. We read Psalms 34. Well, that's talking about increase, is it not? It's not. And so it highlights what God mentioned all the way back in Genesis. But if you look at Genesis, and we're just going to highlight a couple of scriptures here, but in the first three chapters of Genesis, we know that you have the creation, you have the temptation. There's a lot going on here, but in Genesis 1, it says, in the beginning, God prepared, he formed and fashioned and created the heavens and the earth. Well, you see right there that God created everything. Everything that you see, everything that you don't see, God created it. And down in verse 26, in the Amplified, he said, let us make man in our image, and he gave us authority. And then he goes down here in verse 27, he created man in his own image and his likeness. God created him, notice this, male and female. Y'all, there's not 37 different genders, okay? That's not called gender identity, that's called confusion. God created two genders, male and female. You know, I mean, there's no question here about that. There's no doubt. And you say, well, why is it that they're after that? Well, think about it, ladies and gentlemen. Let's just stop for a second and meddle here. If the devil can get men confused about who they are, he can affect the whole family. If he can get women confused about who they are, he can affect the whole family. What's the enemy after? Families. What's the enemy after? Churches. What's the enemy after? The younger generation. And so, you know, this whole thing with male and female, you know, just keep it real simple. You know, God created male and female. God's the author. He's the creator. He starts it. He finishes it. There's no in-between with this. So, you know, don't sit there and reason it out. Don't sit there and try to think it through. If you hear it, just shut the TV off and go on. You know, you're not a horse. Just as much as I'm not, I mean, if you're a horse, then I'm a Volkswagen Beetle. That's why I have a belly like I do. No, I'm not a Volkswagen, I'm Matt. I'm Pastor Matt, and I, you know, I have a wife, and we have a son. My wife and I said this recently, you know, our kid is named Dax. He's our boy. He's our son. Teachers, you can call him boy. You can call him son. He's a boy. He ain't a girl. Well, what if he touches a doll? So what? Come, I'm just meddling for a second. Just because a kid grabs a doll out of curiosity does not mean he's a woman. Usually my kid will grab a doll and the head will come off the doll. So what's that mean? My kid's a murderer? No, he's just curious. He wants to touch things and feel things. He's just learning, okay? So that's just what he's doing. I mean, I would say something there, but I'm not, because I'm going to keep my mouth quiet. So verse 28, and God blessed them. And God blessed them. And then he said to them, what? Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, all its vast resources in the service of God and man. That tells you right there what resources are supposed to be used for God and man, for the kingdom. So he said what? He gave us dominion over the fish and over the birds. So that tells you right there you have dominion over everything. But what did he do in the beginning? God blessed them. So God created and God blessed them. God created and then God blessed. And when God created, if you look over there in chapter 2, it says that when God made the garden, he made the Garden of Eden and he created male and female and he placed them in the Garden of Eden. A Garden of Eden was a place that was perfect. It had no lack. They didn't lack anything. Only thing that God told them to do was don't eat from this tree. That was it. He said, everything else in this garden is for you. Everything else in this garden you can partake of. Everything else in this garden is for your health and for your benefit. So how many of you guys know, right there you see God created, God blessed, God created. He placed them in a garden that did not lack because he wanted to be their source and their provider of everything. Goes back to the scripture, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God. It's what God was trying to get the children of Israel to understand when he was bringing them out of Egypt. He wanted to be their God, and they were his people. And he was trying to get that wrong thinking out of them so that they would understand that he would take care of them. And he says over there, when you look at that story in Exodus, he says, I provided for you. I gave you manna to eat. I gave you a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. I watched over you. I protected you. Your shoes and your clothes didn't wear out. What's he saying? I want to be your source. I want you to realize that I am your source. So if poverty and struggle was in the plan, it wasn't in the beginning of it. So what caused it? If it's not there, then why do people today struggle? Why do people struggle financially? Why is it that there's poverty in the world? Simple, the curse. It's the curse. When sin came onto the scene over there in Genesis 3, you guys know the story. Adam and Eve are in the garden. They get tempted, and then they do the blame game of who told who to do what. They pass it off. And what happens is when sin comes on the scene, all of a sudden, everything changes. And you say, what happens? Well, Genesis 4, Cain and Abel are on the scene, and one of them kills the other. Well, before that, there wasn't killing. And all of a sudden, now they're lying, and they're killing. And all of a sudden, you look out through the rest of Genesis, and what happens with the age of people's death? It starts to go down. I always think, man, these guys lived like 900 years, y'all. Like, how old are you, Matt? Oh, I'm 44. I'd be a young pup. Y'all be like, yeah, you young pup, I'm 842. Glory to God, 842. But what happened? Why do people only live 70, 80, 90 years now, 100 years? Why is the number gone down? Because of the curse. See, things in this world do what? Live and die. That's what's going on right now outside. What's happening? It's cold. Things are dying. What happens in the spring? Things come back to life. What happens in the cold? Things die. What happens in the spring? Things come back to life. What happens with us? We live, we die, and then we go with the Lord. I mean, this body is, I mean, let's just think of it this way. I've always heard it said this way. When you're born, your body starts fighting you from the day you're born to go back to the grave. That's where everything pulls down. It's a joke, okay, y'all. But it's true. It does happen, but it's just, you know, that's why people say, why is my skin sagging? It's one, it goes back. It's always, there's life and there's death. It's this cycle. But the reason there's death is because of the curse. But the good news is, in Galatians 3:13, Jesus said, I came to redeem you from the curse. So what happens is, the reason why the world is the way it is because of the curse. See, the Bible says you're in this world, but you're not of this world. You've been redeemed from the curse. So you have to understand, you know, with the world we live in, think about this. In heaven, there's no shadows. Y'all see a lot of shadows in here? There's no shadow in heaven. None. There's no death. So that means no grass dies, no trees die, no birds die, no nothing died. There's no confrontation. If there's animals in heaven, there's no confrontation. It's not like lions are attacking bears and bears are attacking humans. Everybody lives in perfect unity. Let that sink in for a second. You say, why is the world the way it is? Think about it. I mean, y'all, like, think about a fly, for heaven's sakes. What's the benefit of a fly except for to annoy you and you chase it around the house? Like, a fly is the result. There's certain things that are a result of the curse. That's why I can't go outside and go into a lion's den and go pet a lion. Because there's division between us and that animal. But, you know, in heaven, there's no death. It's just life. There's no darkness. There's no crying. You ain't going to be sad no more. There's no pain in your body. You know how you wake up and you go, ooh, got a little pain. You wake up in heaven, you're not going to go, ooh, you got a little pain. You're going to be like, there ain't no pain at all. So that's all of those things are the result of the curse. That's why the Bible says the earth is groaning. The earth is groaning. The earth is wanting the sons and daughters of God to be revealed and for Christ to come back. The earth is just dying. And that's why, you know, politicians, let me explain something to you. Politicians don't understand things because it's Bible. And they're trying to figure it out by reasoning it out. They'll tell you that the polar caps are going to melt away. They ain't going to melt, y'all. They're going to melt a little bit, then they're going to freeze back over. They'll tell you it's global warming. There ain't no global warming. It's called hot and cold, day and night, summer and fall, spring and winter. God says the earth will be here and that we're going to pass away. It's not, the earth is not going to, it's not going to just disappear. I think it's funny when people are like, you know, we got to save the planet from this for our kids and our grandkids. I'm like, y'all, you're probably not even going to be here, and your grandkids probably ain't going to be here, and your great-great-great-grandkids aren't even going to be here. Because by then, most likely, Jesus is going to come back, and y'all going to be in heaven or hell. So let's not worry about this right now. So I say that to say everything that is in this earth, the fullness thereof, is God's. And it's for us. You know, he created everything for us to enjoy. It's not for the devil to enjoy. It's for us to enjoy. But when that curse came on the scene and death stepped onto that scene, things started to change. So a lot of times, you know, we have to understand that when people say things, they'll say, well, like, you know, I don't believe in this prosperity gospel. Well, is the gospel not the good news for the poor? I didn't say that. Jesus did. I didn't say that it's good news to the brokenhearted. Jesus did. Now, I don't know about you. Prosperity means every area of my life. But what happens is people isolate it to money. And people get mad at faith people because, here's one of the things I've seen. People get mad at faith people because we preach prosperity and it's working in our life and it's not working in theirs, and they get mad. They get frustrated with you. Well, how dare you quote the word, I'm struggling. Well, yeah, but you're struggling because maybe there's some things that I applied that you haven't applied yet. There's some things that maybe I understand that you don't understand. It's not that God doesn't want to bless you. It's just maybe you don't understand it right now. Maybe you're not walking in the revelation that I have. Maybe you haven't, remember that old statement? Maybe you haven't walked a mile in my shoes. Maybe you just don't know what I've gone through to get to where I'm at. Well, you know, bless God, those prosperity people, they're you hear this all the time. They're the name it, claim it bunch. Well, I'll tell you who said name it, claim it. Jesus, the Word of God. 1 John 5, if you have anything, this is the confidence that we have. If we have anything, we have need of anything, if we ask of him according to his word, he hears us, and if he hears us, we have it. We're not naming and claiming things that are not ours. We're naming and declaring what's ours in the Bible. It's the things that he's provided for us by his provision. I'm not over here claiming. So I mean, I can't go over here and be like, bless God, I like Lonnie's suit. Well, you're that weird name and claim it guy. Yeah? Okay, well, so, you know, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for Lonnie's suit showing up in my closet. I like Lonnie. I can't do that. That's not Bible. Now, I can say, I like Lonnie's suit. I would like one similar. Thank you, Lord, that the provision for the suit will be there. But I can't do this. Well, I like so-and-so's wife, so I'm going to name and claim my wife. I've seen people do that. I've seen girls do that when I went to Bible college. I was like, Lord Jesus, that ain't going to work for you. That's pulling Scripture. What's that doing? That's not being balanced in Scripture. That's pulling Scripture out of context. So when they say you're name it, claim it, really you're not naming it and claiming it. You're just declaring what's rightfully yours as a child of God. That's all you're doing. And you're just believing that if God gave you something in Scripture, it's rightfully yours. Seriously, when we think about that, we realize, you know, you have to kind of break this down and look at this and say, why did Jesus go to the cross then? Not only was it for our salvation, but that word salvation encompasses everything, and that includes provision. So when Jesus went to the cross, he got me born again, saved from going to hell. But when I say salvation, if you look at that actual literal meaning of that word salvation, it provides, and it means actually provision also. It means everything that you need in life. So when I look at my life, I say, well, wait a second here. Jesus provided for me everything that I need in this life. He doesn't want me to lack. He doesn't want me to struggle. He wants me to walk in the light of what's rightfully mine. So when somebody says, oh, you just name it and claim it. No, it's what's ours as children of God. We're not pulling things out of, you know, context. Now, are there going to be people that you meet that do that? Yes. But, you know, can we be honest? I've met some weird denominational people. But that doesn't mean every denominational person is weird. So don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. If somebody questions you on it, just say, listen, yeah, so-and-so might have named it and claimed it and been weird in it, but I don't believe it that way. This is how I believe it, because this is what the Bible says. You know, and so that the whole thing with the name it and claim it, or, you know, they'll say basically, well, faith. I heard somebody say this, you know, you use faith just to bend God's arm to get what you want. But Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You have to have faith if you're going to God, because you have to believe that, number one, God is God, but you also have to believe that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek. So when you go to God, you got to believe that he's there, but you also got to believe that he's going to reward you if you talk to him and seek him. So that's just faith. I'm not using faith as a tool to bend God's arm. I'm using faith because God said you got to have faith in order to please me. I don't know about you. I want to please God. So I'm like, okay, I mean, faith. So when you hear statements like that, what happens is you got to be cautious and you got to listen. But a lot of times the reason why people are frustrated is because they're not seeing it work in their life. It's the same thing that happens with healing. Somebody close to you, you believe God for them to get healed and they died, and people get mad at God and throw the baby out with the bathwater and say, healing is not for today. Healing's not for everybody, because they don't understand it. Therefore, they try to figure it out. And so they get frustrated with God, or they get frustrated with people, and then they just don't believe in healing anymore. But you can't do that. I mean, I say this over and over, y'all, but it's just to help you understand it. My dad passed away way before his time. I don't understand why. I mean, let's just be honest. Did it stink a little bit? Yeah. You know, it stinks. I mean, yeah, I mean, I have a son. Love my dad to meet my son. Love it. But I look at it this way. Dad's better off where he is. And he's able to see Dax and able to watch me be ornery. He probably sees me do more stuff than anybody in this room. But, you know, there's some things I don't understand with that. But you know what? I just keep that between him and God, and I go on. God still heals. I don't understand it all. But I'm not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I'm not going to get up here and preach against healing, because God did not heal my dad. hold up, God did heal my dad. He's just healed in a different place than what I thought was possible. I thought maybe it was going to be this way, and it was another way. But he's healed. I mean, God kept his word. Dude, dad's doing good. I mean, no gray hairs, you know. I always am like, thank you for giving me this, you know, gray hair. But, I mean, that's how it is. So it's like that with finances, you know. Sometimes we look at things and we go, well, God didn't meet my need how I thought. God didn't give me what I wanted. Or God didn't do it the way that I thought. Well, just because God didn't do it that way doesn't mean that God doesn't want to provide. Doesn't mean that God doesn't want to help you out in that area. Sometimes we have to go back to that basic thing that we've talked about time and time again here at this church, and that is this. Okay, God, there's a disconnect here. I'm not seeing this in my life. So show me where that disconnect is, and I'll make the adjustment with your help. Instead of, you know, and a lot of people look at people on television and they look at pastors and things like that. You know, I've had to get to the place in my own life where I'm like, okay, God, if they're living a life that I'm not living, then they're doing something to help me to see some things that I need to change. Show me, just show me. Because how many of you know Scripture says there's no favoritism with God? So if God prospers my wife and I, for example, then he'll prosper you. But sometimes what you got to do is just sit down and go, Pastor, I notice that you're prospering. What have you done differently? And then apply it to your life. You know, it's one of those things where people always used to say this all the time when we were at Rhema. They always wanted Brother Hagin's faith. And Pastor Hagin used to say they want Brother Hagin's faith, which was his father, but they don't want to do what Brother Hagin did to get the faith he got. See, most people don't realize how many hours he spent in prayer. How many hours he spent. They don't want to do that. They just want it quick. So see, a lot of times if you just go to somebody and say, hey, I noticed you're coming up. What have you done differently? But you got to be willing. I don't understand why believers, I see this across the board in believers, churches everywhere, is believers avoid this one thing. Because people of faith think, we have to get rid of this one phrase in order to live by faith and walk by faith. We get rid of this one word called work. We don't want work. Now, I'm not just talking about J-O-B, but I'm talking about we don't walk it out because we don't, you know, well, bless God, I'm against finances. Why? Well, so-and-so got blessed. And we'll find out what they did. Well, I don't want to do that. Well, then you ain't going to get what they got. Well, they read the word 5-6 hours a day, and they've prayed the last 10-15 years every day, and they've done this. Well, I want what they got, but I just want to sit down and pray for 5 minutes, and then I want to go to the store, and I don't ever want to read my Bible. You ain't going to get it. You got to be willing to put in the W-O-R-K, because the Bible says faith without corresponding actions is dead. So you want it, but you just don't want to put the effort in to do it. See, people of faith remove work from things. That's not Bible faith. That's called, can we be a little honest here? That's two things. That's being lazy and ignorant. You're not applying what you know. I can't sit in my house and be a person of faith and be a person that sits on my couch and do the name it, claim it thing and just declare finances but never do anything else. See, sometimes you got to go to work. Sometimes God will tell you to go to the church and volunteer. So we go back to what God told us to do, and then we do that. God, I got to make that adjustment. See, I found out in life that a lot of times people want what others have, but they don't want to put the work in or the time to get what they've got. It takes sacrifice, y'all. But I look at it this way. We only got one chance to do this thing. We're down here for one run. And when your run's done, this is over. There's no going back. So you might as well just put the work in and do it and start living the best life you can possible. Because even though the work may be hard, you have the Holy Spirit who will help you. But not only will the Holy Spirit help you, but where you go will be far better than where you've been. See, that's why in 2023, you might say, well, you know, I believe that it's going to be the best year yet, and we're going to be blessed, because that's what Pastor Matt said. Yes, but there's also something else in there. You're going to have to do some things differently. Do you know the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result every time. So let's just kind of hit real home here. Here we go, living room. If you want to lose weight, you're going to have to change some things. I'm sorry. It's like, I can't have you come up front and pray for you. I can pray for you to be strong and to do what you need to do, but you're going to have to change some things. You might have to eat a little different. You might have to go. This is like a bad word in a lot of people's lives, but you might have to go to the gym. You're like, some of y'all are like, you're talking about money. Now you're telling me I need to go to the gym. What are you doing to me, Pastor Matt? But you might have to. You might have to go to the gym. You'd have to make an adjustment in your life. And when you make those adjustments, the Holy Spirit is there to help you. God's Word is there to empower you. And what happens is when He does that, even though it might be a change that's a little bit uncomfortable, He'll be there to help you. And where you are this time next year will be far better than where you were the previous year. You know, like one of the things that I found out in my life was when I got our dog, Sadie, in the morning time. Now, I did this before. I'm not as much a morning person now. It's just not my personality. I'm not, somebody might be like, don't say that in Jesus' name. Well, here's the deal. I like to sleep, y'all, okay? I like my sleep. I'm a late morning person, and I'm a late night person. I can stay up till 2 in the morning. That's me. I get a lot done at midnight, more than I do at 8 a.m. It's just my personality. It's how God made me. But back in the day, I used to take Sadie for a walk when I first got her, and I would walk 2 miles a day. Well, guess what happened? Dude, I was losing weight like ridiculous because I was walking 10 miles a week. But you know what? I had to make a change in my life. I had to get up early. I had to do some things differently. But you know, in my life, if I say to myself, I know myself, so I know I have to walk. If I walk, I just can stay fit that way. That's just how my body is. Not everybody, but just me. So now what do I do? Well, instead of doing it in the morning, I do it at night. My wife and I in the summer, we take walks at 9 o'clock at night sometimes. That's just what we do. Because for us, it works. But we have to make that change. How many of you know I can't just sit on the couch and declare that I'm going to lose weight? Yeah, you got to get up from the couch. You got to do some things. So it requires us sometimes to do things differently, and that's how it is with finances. And I had the Lord say this to me. He said to me, Matt, He said, the reason why so many people in churches struggle is because their pastors preach it. He said their pastors preach lack and struggle with sickness and disease. They preach it, therefore the people manifest it. He said, if it works that way, then it should also work the other way. And He said this, people should be frustrated with what their pastors are preaching instead of being frustrated with me. See, that's why I don't preach lack here. Because I don't want you to believe that that's what God wants for your life. I'm not going to get up here and tell you that God wants you sick. Because I know that what we preach from this pulpit has words of power that can change your life. But there are churches all over the world, everywhere, where their pastors get up and preach it. So a lot of times when somebody's mad at you, if you're a person of faith, a person of belief, that believes that God wants you to prosper and they're not prospering, and they're a churchgoer, then what I would say to them is, what's your pastor preaching? Because what they're preaching is what you're hearing, and what you're hearing is what you're doing. And if your pastor's not preaching it, then maybe go sit down with your pastor and say, why are you telling me God wants me to struggle when Pastor so-and-so at this church is preaching the gospel of prosperity in light of the word, balanced approach, but he's preaching that and his people are prospering, but we're over here lacking. See, that's what needs to happen. So we look at prosperity and we balance this thing out with the word, and we realize, wait a second, a lot of times when people are frustrated with us, it's not us they're frustrated with. They're frustrated sometimes with themselves, frustrated because they're not coming up, and they don't know what to do, because every time they try to come up, the pastor's there on Sunday telling them you can't. You know how frustrating that would be? On Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you get revelation that God wants to prosper you, and you're excited about it, and you start to try to walk in the light of it, and then you go to church, and your pastor gets up and says, just so you know, we all struggle. What's that do? That deflates your balloon. That puts a cap on you. I had Pastor Marvin tell me this. I've heard multiple people tell me this, is that I set the cap of how far you go. You. So if you hit the ceiling and you can't go any further, it's because I'm not going up. That's why I have to press into God. That's why I have to have fresh revelation. That's why I have to push a little harder, not just for myself, but I have to keep the ceiling up so that you guys keep moving up with me. But in churches across America, there's a ceiling and their whole congregation is sitting on the ceiling. Now, there was a song in the 1980s. What was it? Well, who? Lionel Richie wrote it, Dancing on the Ceiling. Man, that was a good song back in the day. I just started hearing that in my head right now. I listened to that the other day with my kids. I think I was playing it somewhere. But you know, church, there are a lot of people that have hit that ceiling, so therefore they can't come up anymore. But what they need to do is their pastors need to change their thinking. And when the pastors change their thinking, then the rest of the church can come up with them. So, you know, we have to look at this thing and we have to realize, you know, when people say things to you, a lot of times, if people you know, it might be your family members, you might talk to them and say, oh, this is what we believe. And they'll say, oh, you're a weird faith person. You're name it, claim it. Now you have a little bit more understanding of what we really believe. There's that balance to it. And it helps you understand it. But when you look at Scripture, when you go back to that Scripture we read, you see that what? God blessed, and then He created. And God blessed man and woman, and He put them in the garden, which didn't lack anything. They had everything they had need of in that garden. Everything. So what does it go back to? God wants to be our source. God wants to be our source. Finances, one of the things that you learn with finances is this, is, you know, in order to prosper in life, one of the basic things you can do, are you ready? Is learn to be led by the Spirit of God. Just learn to follow His leading. Most of the situations we get in with money that end up hurting us instead of blessing us is a result of disobeying God. It's just ignoring what He told us to do. Or, like we said on Wednesday when we were praying, the Lord told me this, help me understand it, we add to what He said to do, or we take away. So, let me give you an example. If you're at church and God puts it on your heart to go buy Brother Lonnie lunch, well, God said for me to do what? To buy Brother Lonnie lunch. So, what does that mean I do? Buy Lonnie lunch. Did God tell me to buy Lonnie lunch, supper, and dinner? No. What did God tell me to do? Buy Lonnie lunch. Did God tell me to buy Lonnie a suit? No. What did God tell me to do? Buy Lonnie lunch. Did God tell me to buy Lonnie dinner? No. God told me to buy Lonnie lunch. Did God tell me to buy Lonnie breakfast? No. God told me to buy Lonnie lunch. What do? Buy Lonnie lunch. I don't add to. I don't take away. I obey. When I obey, then I'll be blessed. But what happens with believers is we add to, and then we spend more than what God wanted us to. So I go, well, bless God. God told me to buy Lonnie lunch, so I'm going to buy him lunch, breakfast, and dinner. God didn't tell me to do that. If you buy him breakfast, lunch, and dinner, then you'll pay for it. But if you buy him lunch, God will pay for it because He told you to do it, meaning God will bless you in return. Now, if I go out and buy Lonnie breakfast because I don't want to buy Lonnie lunch, I like breakfast. How many of you know I'm not obeying God? It's simply following what God has told us to do. So, did God tell you to buy into a company, or did God tell you not to? Did God tell you to invest your life savings, or did God tell you not to? Come on now. Did God tell you to buy somebody a car, or did He tell you not to? If he told you to buy him a car, buy him a car. But if he told you to buy him a car, buy him a car. He didn't tell you to buy him a truck. He told you to buy him a car. See, what happens in believers' lives is if we're not led by the Spirit of God and we add to or take away, we get ourselves in more trouble. And what happens is with believers is we want to be generous, so we think, I'm going to add on to it. Well, God didn't tell me to do it. I had the Lord tell me this one time when people kept calling the church. People kept calling the church asking us for money. All the time. Asking me for money. Money. I need money. I need money. I had people call me. I have an $800 light bill. I need to pay my light bill. I said, well, so do I. I mean, I do too. We all do. We all have bills. But I can't pay your bill. I'm sorry. Because first off, I take care of the people of our church. First and foremost, it's the people that come on Sundays that we help out. You know. But I had the Lord tell me this. He said, when people call you, they're either going to be a blessing or a burden. You have to decide which one it wants is going to be. It's your choice. Meaning, I have to listen to God when somebody calls and say, Lord, do I need to bless them or not? And if God says no, I don't care. Let me tell you something about people. Can I tell you something? I've worked with people, y'all. I used to live in Atlanta, Georgia. I worked with the homeless in Atlanta, Georgia. I had people cry. I had people lie. I had people steal. Just because they cry don't mean they're genuine. Seriously, they can get emotional real quick. I'm just telling you, people can do that. You have to learn to be led. You have to learn to be led. So if you feel led to do it, then you call them and you do what God, what? What God has told you to do. Be led by the Spirit of God. So if God tells me to call that person and bless them and give them $100, what did God tell me to do? Give them $100. Did God tell me to give them $300? No. Did God say, listen to their story when they start crying, just up the amount so that you can have compassion on? No. He didn't tell me to do that. What he told me to do was give them $100. But if God said, don't give them anything, well, but their story is so real. You know, this is a funny story. Can I tell you a funny story? It's about my uncle. I don't think he'll listen to my message, so he won't hear this. But my uncle Trent, he had a lady come to church one time, and she needed stuff. And there's been years ago, so my uncle took her to the store and bought her some groceries. Well, first off, his first indicator, he learned his lesson, as I did, which I just laugh about the story now. But when he went to the store and he bought her something, she got mad because he bought her Coke instead of what she wanted. She got mad. So that's my first indicator, like, y'all, your attitude is wrong. You know, I'm about to baptize you with some Coke if you don't change yourself, you know. But the lady was mad that she bought him Coke. But anyway, Trent said, you know, convinced her, you know, he's like, I'm buying you stuff. Like, you can't tell me what to buy, what not to buy. Like, I'm just blessing you. So he bought her the stuff, and some time went by. I think it was like 4 months went by. And guess who came back to his church again? The same lady. And she came in and told him the same story she had told him before. And Trent stopped her and said, before you finish it, your brother's in the hospital, and da-da-da-da-da. And the lady looked at him, and he goes, you've been to my church already and did that once. And the lady goes, I have? She basically runs around to different churches and asks, and was telling people the same story. And the reason why I say that is you got to be led. So the first thing you do with prosperity is you learn to be led. Led by the Spirit of God. Led. Don't add to. Don't take away. Just do what God tells you. Just obey. So, in your life, when you look at your life, if you say, you know, okay, I'm blessed. God is helping me out with changing my thinking on finances, and I'm coming up. Then God tells you to do something. You do what God has told you to do. But here's something else. Don't get in a hurry to do things unless you got a clear indicator that God is telling you to do it. You don't have to buy a car that day at that hour to get that deal. Can we be honest? We've all been there. If you don't buy today, the deal is gone tomorrow. I beg to differ. You know, I used to be in sales, and I'm going to tell you right now, I used to be in sales. I used to sell televisions and everything. I'm going to tell you right now, every sale that they have, they can always meet it again at some other point. I had the capacity to go to my manager and tell them that you needed the sale that's already ended, and they would usually grant it to you to get your business. So, you know, like, unless it's like, I mean, it's just like when you're doing something, if it's the overwhelming presence of God, you will have a peace that directs you to do it. And if there's a peace to do it, there'll be provision there. But once again, here we go. Don't add to, don't take away, just obey. So if you're believing God, let's just say, I'm going to lay this out because this is what, you know, my wife and I, we're, you know, for a new television. We want a new TV over our fireplace because we're kind of changing the room around, and TV we've had for a while. And so we're believing God for a TV, right deal, right place. Okay, so if I go to the store and God tells me to buy that TV and I got a piece about it, what am I supposed to do? Buy that TV. So did God tell me to buy the TV with XYZ and this and this and this and this and this on top of it? No. What did God tell me to do? Buy that TV. Did God tell me to go down the road and buy the other TV? Or did he tell me to buy that TV? Buy that TV. So what do? I buy that TV. I walked by and I bought the TV. And then I saw that, like, all the Blu-rays that I wanted when I was a kid are on sale for a dollar. Did God tell me to buy all the Blu-rays for a dollar? Or did God tell me to buy the TV? Do you see what happens? See, what happens is we're blessed because God is our source, but sometimes we add to things and we do more than what God has told us to do, and then it gets us in trouble. I've had to learn this in my own life. So to be led by the Spirit of God, one of the things we say here is what? Right place, right time, right people. Right place, right time, right people. You're led by the Spirit of God. So that means you're always being led to be at the right place at the right time with the right people. Let's just lay out another scenario. You go out to eat with your friends, and you have five friends that you eat out with, and God tells you to buy the friend across from you's dinner. What do? You buy them dinner. Did God tell you to buy the whole table dinner? God didn't tell you to. Then don't do it. Because what happens is when somebody buys the whole table dinner, it puts them in debt, and then they get mad at God. God didn't tell you to buy the whole table dinner. You know, I read a post recently. Anybody ever go to, like, when you pull up to the drive-up window and people are buying everybody's stuff and you buy the person behind you? Anybody ever had that happen? You know, and sometimes you'll go up, and sometimes I'll go up to the window and a person will say that, and they'll say, the car in front of you buys your food. And you're like, oh, bless God. And they'll go, do you want to buy the car behind you? And I always listen right here. And if I get a good indicator, I'll go, yeah, put it on there. But there was a guy on this video I watched in the last week. He was like, I stopped the line. He's like, I didn't buy my person's thing behind them. And the people are like, oh, but you stopped the blessing train. And I was like, no, this guy's smart. Because the guy said, well, how much is their meal? And they said, they spent $65. He goes, I came here after working a third-hour shift. I just wanted a biscuit and a burrito. And I'm going to go home and tell you, I'm not spending those $65 to buy their food. He goes, nope, thank you, lady, in front of me. And he paid for his own, and he went on. And people were like, some people were mad, but some people were happy. And I was like, I would be in the same boat, especially if you're not being led by God. Because how many of you know, if you're not led by God and you buy that car's food and they go, your total is $87.82. Lord Jesus, what did I just buy? And then you're like, that's my whole account for the next week. That's all I got in there. And then we go home, and what happens is we get mad and we say, God, why haven't you blessed me? And God said, I didn't tell you to buy the whole line their lunch. I told you to buy the person in front of you's lunch. Simply obey. Just be led by the Spirit of God. If you just do that, one practical thing, and like I've said before, finances always follow peace. Always follow peace. Don't rush. Don't hurry. Just chill. You know, what I do when I go buy a car, I drive the car, I go on a break, and I leave for like 2 hours. Why? To clear my head, to get away from the emotionalism of it, because I want it, you know, and I clear my head, and then I start listening. Okay, God, is this right? What do I need to do? And then whatever God tells me to do, that's what I do. When God told me how to buy a car, he told me the payment, and he said, don't go above or below. And if they can't meet it, just stay right there. So I stayed there, and they miraculously, they came to where I was at. How does that work? It's because they know they're going to make money off of you. I always think of it this way. You know, people in certain industries, they'll tell you they can't do things. Y'all, they still make money. Can we just be honest for a moment? They're not going to give you a discount if it's going to hurt them financially. They're not going to be like, I'll just give it to you for free. Unless you're just like crazy blessed and God just blesses your socks off, then awesome, go home and praise the Lord and do a jig. But, you know, that's not how it's going to happen. So don't be moved by things. Just learn to be moved by the Spirit of God that's on the inside of you. Because the Holy Spirit knows. He knows what's happening. He knows what's going on. And if you'll learn just to be sensitive and learn to listen and learn to obey, you'll find out that you'll start stepping into things easier and you won't get as burdened and you'll start living a joyous life. It's one of these things that people try to, I guess you would say, we want to keep people happy. So that's why we do a lot of the things we do. That's why we add two things, because we want to be a blessing to people. And that's awesome. I'm not telling you not to bless people. I'm telling you to obey God. But what happens is we want to bless people. You have to realize this. You are not going to please everybody in your life. Some people are going to love your decisions and some people aren't. You're going to tell some people what you did and they're going to say, awesome. And other people are going to be like, why? You're going to buy the person across from you dinner, and everybody else is going to look at you and say, oh, that's so nice. And other people are going to be like, well, bless God, why don't you buy my dinner? Well, you can work that out with God because that's not my responsibility. Your job is to what? Follow God. Your job is to please him. Don't worry about others. You just please him. Amen? And if God tells you to do something, you do it. So one of the basic things you can do is, number one, is learn to follow or learn to be led by the Spirit of God. Just learn to do that. Just learn to be sensitive. And then the next thing you can do, and we'll talk about this next week, is find out what the Word says on it. You've got to have Scripture. That's why that statement I said at the beginning of service, you know, when people say, oh, you're just a name it, claim it bunch. Well, that's when you can say, well, here's what Scripture says. This is why I believe it. I'm not being weird. I'm just telling you what the Word says and why we believe it. And why I'm standing on that Scripture. You know, God will provide for you if you find out what the Word says. You know, what's awesome about the Bible is considered a will and testament. Anybody know what a will is? Most of you in this room do. You know, my mom, it's like a running joke with my mom. Whenever we do stuff with my mom, she always says this to Josh and I, you know, whoa, Matt took me on a car drive, so I'm putting him more in the will. You know, and then she'll tell Josh, oh, you be mean to me, I might take you out of the will. I mean, she's joking, she's not serious, okay? But what's that mean? We know that when mom has run a race and she's ready to go home, there's going to be a will. And in that will, it's going to state what's rightfully ours. And if we don't know what's in that will, we can't partake of it. So if, you know, my mom has a will, and I go read the will, and I notice in the will it tells, you know, everything's 50-50, and this is what Josh gets, and this is what Matt gets, and I go claim what's mine, and my brother just starts telling me, oh, I just wish I knew what was mine. How do I know what's mine? How do I know? Josh, did you go to the lawyer's office when we read the will? Well, I did, and they said half of that's mine, but oh, I wish it was mine. Josh, you probably want to go claim it because it's yours. Well, I wish I did. I wish I had it. Josh, go read the will. It's right there. It's legal. It's binding. It's rightfully yours. Take it. Do with whatever you want. It's yours. Do with whatever you want. How many of you know you'd say, go do it, Josh? Go do what Matt did. Same thing with the Bible. If we don't get in that word and find out what's rightfully ours, see, that's why a lot of believers mock faith people, is because not only do they not understand it, but they don't get in the word and know what the word says. They don't know what the word says. They open their Bible when they're sick. They open their Bible when they go to a wedding. And they read 1 Corinthians 13. They open their Bible when something bad comes against them. But the rest of the time in their life, it's sitting on a shelf. They don't know what's in it. Therefore, when you say something that's in it that they don't know that's in it, it sounds crazy to them. They're like, is that in there? Well, it's in there if you just open up the will and read it. So you got to get into the Word and find out what the Word says. And, you know, in the world we live in, there's so many opinions. Like I said at the beginning of this, there's so many voices out there. And if you're not careful and you listen to things that are not true, you'll believe those things, and that's what will happen in your life. Pastor Marvin used to tell me this, and it's truth once again, just wisdom from him. He said, Matt, you can't listen to everything that everybody says. Because he said, you fought too hard for the faith you've got. So that's why I don't really listen to a lot of stuff. I literally have five pastors and preachers and ministers that I probably listen to, five. The others of them are just scambys, meaning I may listen to them once a year, tops, but I don't sit down and spend hours listening to, I wonder what the new fad is. Okay, here's the new message. No, you know, because right now they're coming after Christians for this and this, and I'm like, I don't got time for that. I don't got time, you know. I'm thinking of that video in my head. You know that lady? I ain't got no time for that. I think Miss Berta knows what video talk. That lady said, I ain't got no time for that. I don't have any time for that. I need to spend time reading the Word for myself so I can find out what's in that will for my family in the church. And then when I know what's in it, then I can stand on that. Then I can believe God. Then I can be led by the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God will always lead you in line with the Word of God. And how much Word you know is how much the Holy Spirit's got to work with. You say, well, how much do I need to memorize the whole Old Testament? No, I'm talking about you need to read it. Because all you got to do is download it. Anybody ever have a computer? And you go to that little thing called a search bar on the computer, and you have a file on your computer, and you know it's somewhere, but you can't remember where you placed it? What do? You type in that search bar, like, you know, tax documents, and it pulls up everything with the word tax on your computer. That's how the Holy Spirit does things. But if you just read it, then you'll be out in public and the Holy Spirit will say, pull up a scripture, and you'll be out at the car dealership and the Holy Spirit will bring a scripture to your remembrance and you'll be like, oh, that is right. This Bible does say that. That's how he does it. So we got to spend some time in the Word. Amen. So two practical things. Number one, read the Word and learn to be led by the Spirit of God, but find out what the Bible says. Amen. Did you get anything from it? All right, let me pray for you today. Amen. Father, I just thank you for these men and women. Thank you, Lord, for their attentiveness. Thank you, Lord, that you are showing us more and more and revealing to us more and more what the Word says in every area of our life, including our finances. Thank you, Lord, that as we go forth from this place this next year, we just thank you that we'll learn to be led by you in every decision that we make, every time that we do something, that we'll just be obedient to you. We'll just follow you, Lord. We thank you that as we follow you, you just continually reveal truth to us in the Word, and you open the eyes of our understanding to see the Word, and just reveal truth to us. Each person in this place, whatever it is that they're believing for, finances, peace, provision, whatever, Lord, I pray that you continually speak to them and reveal those scriptures to them. And Lord, we just thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for what you've done and what you're continually doing in our life. And we give you praise, and we give you glory, and we give you honor for it in Jesus' name.